The Family That God Built, Session 4, Building a Safe Family.
This message is called Building a Safe Family. And I've talked about building a lasting family, a loving family, and an honest family. But I want to talk about building a safe family. And this is Luke chapter 10. This is Jesus now. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Now, this is one of the most important scriptures in the New Testament because theologically, Jesus is returning authority to mankind. Now, in the Garden of Eden, God appointed Adam and Eve literally as the gatekeepers of the earth. In Genesis 1, God gave Adam and Eve dominion to rule the earth over every creature on the earth, dominion. And this was a very important thing. And so the devil came and tempted them, and as the gatekeepers of the earth, they literally opened the gate that was theirs by authority to rule. They opened the gate, and Satan came through that gate and destroyed their family and destroyed the earth and took the authority away from them. And for 4,000 years, he used that authority to rule the earth. Now, this is Luke chapter 4, this is Jesus and the devil. And the devil is tempting Jesus. Listen to what the devil says to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. The devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. And so the devil is saying to Jesus, Adam and Eve gave me the authority that I have. You gave them authority, they opened the door to me, I took the authority, and if you will bow down and worship me, I will deliver the authority of the kingdoms of the earth because it was delivered to me. Well, Jesus didn't take the easy way. Jesus died on the cross and defeated the devil and took all his authority away from him. And so there's always the easy way and there's always the right way, and the devil offered him the easy way so we wouldn't have a savior. We would just have another, you know, Lord over us in an illegitimate sense. But Jesus now came to the 70 disciples and he sent them out, giving them the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And they came back and they were shocked at how much authority they had. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And I want you to listen to me. Our God is the best father in the world. And you know, as a parent, you're obsessed with the safety of your children and your grandchildren. It's an obsession. We're obsessed. God is more obsessed about your safety than you are about your children's safety, because God's the perfect father. And God does not want us to be harmed. And so he has given us authority. Safety is the birthright of every child of God. Did you know that? Did you know that your birthright in God, Jesus said, nothing shall by any means harm you. Because of the authority that we have in our lives, safety is our birthright. The devil has no authority over us. He has no authority to harm us. But in a practical sense, when God gave Adam and Eve authority in the Garden of Eden, practically the authority that we have to live a safe life is the authority of a gatekeeper, is that we can open gates or we can close gates to good or evil, and that's what makes us safe or unsafe. Now, this is Matthew 18, 18. This is Jesus again now, and he's gonna repeat this twice in two scriptures we're gonna read. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, the word assuredly there means an emphasis. Jesus is saying, what I'm saying is the truth. Listen to what I'm saying, this is the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The word bind is the Greek word deo, and it means to restrain or to bind up or disallow. Jesus said, listen to what I'm saying now. Whatever you disallow, I'll recognize. And then he says, but whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the word loose is the Greek word luo, which means to loosen, to let go, or to allow. So let me give you a paraphrase of what Jesus is saying to every single one of us. I'm telling you the truth, whatever you disallow on earth will be disallowed in the invisible realm, And whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in the invisible realm. God has given us authority over our lives and over our families, and we can live in absolute safety if we will use the authority that God has given us to allow and to disallow, to bind and to loose. The authority that God gives us is the authority to bind and loose in the spiritual realm and to live a safe life. Satan has no authority over us to destroy us. But here are several statements in regard of what I'm saying. The first is, all of the authority the devil exercises in the world is illegitimate and can be stopped by believers. The Satan has no legitimate authority. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, and this is the Apostle Paul talking about the resurrection of Christ. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Paul is reminding us here that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he took all power away from the devil. The devil has no power. The only authority the devil has is the authority that we let him have. The only authority the devil has is the authority he's stolen from believers. He's been disarmed, and not only has he been disarmed, Jesus made a public spectacle. When Jesus was resurrected, he took the devil and every demon in hell and paraded them through the heavenlies and said, this man has no more authority, he's a loser, and he's been assigned to hell. And every angel knows it, and every demon knows it. He just wants to bet that you don't know it. He has no authority over you. He has no authority. All of his authority that he has on the earth today is stolen and illegitimate, and we can stop it. This is Matthew 16. Listen, Jesus is about to repeat what he said in Matthew 18. Matthew 16, this is the first time the church is mentioned in the Bible. Also, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Here we have Jesus repeat what he said, or actually this is the original statement here. It's then repeated in Matthew 18. And Jesus says this to Peter. Now, Peter, you said that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, I'm going to build my church. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you lock on earth will be locked. Whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked. And by the way, they didn't have cars back then. A key was for one thing, that's a door or a gate. And Adam and Eve were the gatekeepers of the earth. The devil came, knocked on the door, tempted them. They opened the door. He came in, destroyed mankind. Jesus comes back and said, I'm re-delivering the keys of the earth to you, Peter, and to my church. And I'm telling you that if you want to unlock a gate of hell that the devil is using to hold people in darkness and destroy their lives, even the devil's gate cannot stand against my people and the key that I just handed you. I'm giving you the keys to the entire kingdom of heaven of good and evil. And whatever you want to lock and to bind and to disallow on this earth, so be it, I'll stand behind you. Whatever you want to allow and to loose, so be it, I'll stand behind you. But you have authority over all the power of the enemy, and he cannot harm you as long as you're using the keys of binding and loosing and the authority that I'm giving you. Number one truth, all the authority the devil has is illegitimate and the church can stop it. Number two, the devil has no authority to harm believers. We have authority over him. You never have to fear the devil, he fears you. Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He has no right to harm you. And by the way, if the devil could kill us, we'd all be dead. He hates our guts. And the fact that he doesn't is just testimony to the fact he doesn't have authority unless we give him authority. Number three, truth in this regard, God will not do for us what he has given us the ability to do for ourselves. God has given us authority to live safely as his family, but we have to be the gatekeepers of our own lives. And I want to talk about the gatekeeping responsibilities that we have in two ways, personal and as parents. Because there's two ways that we keep the gates of our lives, and there certainly is national and other levels of this, but I want to focus this on personal and family. I want to talk about being the personal gatekeeper of your life. And to help you understand, there are seven gates into your life. Every person there are seven gates that the devil or God will use to do good or bad things in your life. Let me go through these. There's the eye gate. Now, we all know Jesus said that the eye is the lamp of the soul. And if the eye is good, the soul is full of light. If the eye is bad, how bad is that darkness? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. There's the ear gate. Jesus said in Mark 4, be careful what you hear. The ear gate is where words and music and sounds come in to our lives that can impact us in a huge way. And right now, I'm accessing your ear gate because you've come and offered it here in church. That's a good thing. So there's an ear gate. Number three is the mouth gate. The words spoken, food and drink consumed. And this, by the way, Proverbs 18:21 says the power of life and death is in the mouth. This is the most disproportionate gate in our lives because what comes in and out of this gate will have more impact on our lives than almost anything else. Number four is the mind gate. Is we have a gateway into our minds. Beyond our eyes, ears, in a dark room with our mouth closed, we can open our mind gate. And we can have imaginations, we can have deceptions, we can have, you know, all different kinds of things, but our thoughts, our ideas, our imaginations and beliefs come through our minds, and we control that gate. The spirit gate, this is faith or unbelief, submission, rebellion, what I'm going to do spiritually in my life. And by the way, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about the door of our spirits. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. This is talking about the act of salvation. Jesus will not access a door of our life without our permission because that's his nature. He recognizes us as the gatekeeper of our own spirit and he says, my desire is to come into your life, but you'll have to open the gate for me to come in. Okay, our spirit gate. Number six, our flesh gate. And this is our sensuality, our sexuality, our physical needs, desires, and wants, both on a legitimate level and also on a sinful level, whichever door that we open. But our flesh is an entry point. Okay, number seven is our emotion gate. Emotions and attitudes and response to life and people and things like that. And so I decide everything that comes into my life through those seven gates. Listen, who you are today has been decided by you and what gate you opened. Your mom and dad didn't do it. God didn't. God doesn't decide how you feel. God doesn't decide what you think. God doesn't decide where you put your eyes or your ears. Neither does the devil, neither do I. We all are responsible for the gates of our lives. And everything in my life right now, I allow to be there. And the things that are not in my life are not there because I disallowed them. Binding and loosing made me who I am right now, good or bad. And so when God gives us authority, and he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The first responsibility that we have with that authority is to manage our lives and the seven gates of our lives. And I've got to understand where I put my eyes, where I put my ears, where I put my mind, where I put my mouth, where I put my spirit, my emotions, and everything else has a phenomenal impact upon my life and my safety in who I am. And so understand this too, the devil only needs one open door. A burglar doesn't need you to leave every window and door open to rob your house. A burglar only needs one entry point. And through one entry point, a burglar can rob your entire house. Understand this, the devil is gonna try to access every gate in your life on a continual basis. Now the purpose of this is to make you fearful. The purpose of this is to make you aware because you have authority over the devil. This is not complicated, it's not difficult, but understand every gate in your life is an opportunity for God to bless you, and every gate in your life is an opportunity for the devil to destroy you, and you manage every one of those gates. And he's gonna keep knocking on those gates to find an open door, and he only needs one open door to destroy your life. And let me give you an example of this. Ephesians chapter 4, this is verses 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Go ahead and be angry. God gets angry. Nothing wrong with anger. But don't sin in your anger and don't stew on it and let that become bitterness and unforgiveness by going to bed on it. So be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger or you'll give place to the devil. The word place is the word tapas in the Greek language, and it just means location, foothold, a place in your life for the devil. The word devil there is diablos, which means slanderer. He's gonna come in through your anger, that you didn't take control over. He's going to use that as an opportunity to come in and accuse your wife, your husband, your parents, your friends, everyone that you have anger toward until he's destroyed relationships. Now, I want you to listen to me for just a minute, because this is something that I know as being a pastor for 32 years and a marriage guy who's helped a lot of people in marriages. That gate has destroyed millions and millions of lives and homes. How many couples have been destroyed by anger that they wouldn't forgive, that they wouldn't talk it out, they justified unrighteous actions because they were angry? How many relationships have been broken? How many families have been destroyed? How many nations have been destroyed through that gate right there? Through hatred, through bitterness. We are the keeper of our emotions. And the devil is looking for someone who will open a doorway of bitterness and unforgiveness so he can come in and do his work of slander so he can destroy our families and destroy our relationships and destroy our society. And this is what we see in the world today. And no one decides how I feel except for me. Life does not form me. My response to life forms me. And regardless of what you do, I make a decision of how I feel about that. And I can choose to love in the most difficult circumstance. And I can choose to hate in the best of circumstances. But I am the gatekeeper of my emotions. And so the devil constantly is going to try to access the gates in our lives. And as a responsible gatekeeper, it means I bind the devil by using my eyes. And I loose God to use. Whenever you're reading the Bible, what you're doing is you've just loosed the Holy Spirit to work through your eyes to bless you. But when you put your eye on something bad, you've opened the door to the devil to come in and corrupt you. The same with your ears, the same with your mind. And so responsible binding and loosing, responsible gatekeeping keeps me personally safe. But the second responsibility of gatekeeping is parents. See, little children, we have to create, because they can't manage the gates of their lives. The purpose of parenting is to raise children in a safe environment for one day when they leave home, they have learned how to responsibly manage the gates of their lives. But let me talk about parents for just a minute. Parents are the gatekeepers of their homes and their children's lives. Let me say, everything in your home, you allow. Everything not in your home, you disallow. You're the gatekeeper of your home. God doesn't keep the gates of your home. The devil doesn't. Hopefully your children don't. All the devil needs is a careless gatekeeper to corrupt a child's life. He just wants a parent who doesn't understand that they're responsible for keeping the gates of their child's life. Let me talk about the five gates of a child's life that a parent must diligently keep watch over. And you're totally responsible for these five gates. Number one is the God gate. The first responsibility of a parent is to lead your child to God. In fact, God put his image on Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and then commanded them to multiply. They weren't ready to multiply until they bore the image of God. The number one responsibility that I have as a parent is to lead my child into an understanding of who God is, the love of God, and the truth of God, so that at the earliest age possible, they receive Christ into their lives. And then from that point forward, we're discipling them in their faith. Okay. Taking them to church, reading them the Bible, praying with them. The number one thing that I do is I watch the God gate of my child's life. And I think that every parent should raise their children in church. I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm saying church is very important. The Bible, godly disciplines in a child's life, that is the parent's responsibility. Number two gate in a child's life is the entertainment gate. And entertainment is cell phones. And I totally agree that children should not have a cell phone until very late in high school or something like that. And so for safety purposes, you may have a cell phone in your home that doesn't belong to a child, and they're going somewhere and you hand it to them, and it's not a smartphone, it's just a dumb phone. It's just a phone that they can call you, and they cannot access the internet because the internet's a powerful thing. But computers, did you know that 60% of parents say they do not have the time to monitor what their children view on the internet? You might as well hand your child a loaded gun. I want to say something, mom and dads, now listen to me. You cannot give your child an electronic instrument that you can't monitor. And if your children are smarter than you, that's a problem. You know, and a lot of my 2-year-old grandson comes and walks in the house and he jumps in my lap. Reed is his name. And he says, Pappy, I want to play on your phone. And my grandson Reed's 2.5 years old. He gets on my phone, and in a second, he's watching Thomas the Train on Netflix. And he's brilliant. I mean, these little kids are brilliant. And it's just, you have to stay up with that. And I was talking with Brent and Stephanie, our son and daughter-in-law, about this, and they said, it is more challenging all the time to make sure that the internet does not corrupt your children. But you can't do it. We have to monitor their entertainment. Social media, music videos, video games, so critical that we monitor children's video games and things like that. There's never been a world like ours today where from an outside, someone can come inside our home that we would never allow through the front door, but they do it through electronics. And so through phones, through social media and all of that, you have to monitor that. You have to become educated on that and get the resources and tool to monitor your child's entertainment. It takes vigilance. And it takes relationship with your children and knowing what they're up to. And listen, don't let entertainment raise your children for you, you know, because it's easy to let your kids sit there. Our kids, grandkids, and, you know, watch the video stuff like that. But that's not the basis of our parenting or grandparenting. Number three is the friend gate. You have to monitor who their friends are. Their friends are their future. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company or evil company corrupts good habits. If you don't believe that your friends, a bad friend can corrupt your child, you're deceived. That your child will be corrupted. If they have good morals that you've put into them, bad company will corrupt those morals. My mom and dad, you know, had areas of parenting that they weren't as good at. They were great at this. My parents ran off so many friends of mine that I shouldn't have had, bad friends. When I was in junior high school, I had a group, a band, you probably heard of us, the Banana Safari. I played in it was called a combo back then, but we were pretty good, we really were. And so in junior high school, I think I was 15, and there was a high school band here in town, and I knew one of the guys in the band, and he asked me if I would be the rhythm guitarist for their band. And they had a record out and they toured all over this area. And so he said, would you be our rhythm guitarist? And I said, absolutely, I'll be your rhythm guitarist. And he said, well, that's great, we'll pay you, all this kind of stuff. So I went home to my dad. Now I knew the life expectancy of this conversation was not very long. And I went to my dad and I said, Daddy, I've got the most unbelievable opportunity. I had a 12-string Rickenbacker hollow body guitar, which was a phenomenal guitar. And I went to my dad and I said, Daddy, I've got the best opportunity to use my guitar and to use my talents. This band wants me to play with them. And he said, well, tell me about the band. So I told him, they're high school guys, this. He said, Jimmy, listen to me. Those boys are hippies and they smoke marijuana. And there's not a way in the world that you're going to travel with them. And I said, Daddy, no, they're great guys. They were hippies and they smoked marijuana. But. And I thank God that my parents were wise enough to keep me away from bad influences and bad friends. No one's perfect. But listen, what are the beliefs of the parents of your children's friends? One of the neighbor boys in our neighborhood, his parents were not believers, and we tried to bring him into our home and influence him in our home. And because of his home life, his family life, we would let Brent play with him only in our home. Okay, so one day he came to me and he said, my friend's dad wants to take us to the movies. And the friend's dad called me and he called and I said, well, what movie are you going to take him to? And he said, well, we're going to have a great time. We'll be very careful. We're going to take him to this movie. That father took our son to an R-rated movie when he was 12 years old. That was their value system. And it so unbelievably violated me. And so as a good boy, we liked the boy and we felt safe with him in our home to some degree. But as soon as his parents got control, they took Brent to see something we would have never allowed. And he came home and said, Dad, I saw a bad movie and I want you to know I saw a bad movie. So who are your children's friends and what do their parents believe? Do you have a relationship with the parents? Does the child have a smartphone? And is the child able then to corrupt your child through that smartphone? All those things are very important things to look at when you're looking at friends. Number four is the attitude gate. And attitude is the seedbed of behavior. If you only discipline behavior, you're showing up late to the party. Because long before a child acts out, they have bad attitudes. When a child rolls their eyes at you, they get disciplined for that. When they talk back to you, they get disciplined for that. When you tell them to do something, they go, Let me tell you something about parenting. Don't just punish, reward. Reward good attitudes. Reward good character. Say to your children, listen, you get along with your sister, you get along with your brother, you keep your room clean, you do your homework. Friday night, we're gonna go to the pizza, we're gonna go to the movie, we're gonna go ride go-karts, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. We're gonna have a special night if you have a good week. So I'm not just gonna punish you, I'm gonna reward you. But let me say this too. I will punish you as much for rolling your eyes at me as I will for, you know, hitting your sister. I'm not gonna wait until you act out. I'm watching your attitudes. Listen, God disciplines attitudes and God rewards attitudes. James chapter 4 says this, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Those are attitudes. Pride is an attitude and humility is an attitude. Long before we act out, God says, I just don't like your attitude. You're prideful, you're arrogant, you don't think you need me, you don't treat other people well, and I'm gonna resist you for that. I love you, but I'm gonna resist that. I'm not gonna bless that. And then he comes and says, you're a humble person. You're a loving person, you know you need me, you're gracious with other people, and I'm gonna reward that. And we need to monitor the attitudes of our children and never, not being legalistic, always in a relational context, we must demand of our children that they have good attitudes, that they respect us, that they respect the family and the other members of the family. It's a job. I mean, you know, children aren't perfect and we have to raise them up patiently, but attitudes is a big deal. Number five is the education gate. Parents are responsible for educating their children. It's number one, beyond the school, beyond anybody else, it's our responsibility. And that means you're involved in your children's education. You know where they're being educated, you know who's educating them, and you're staying up with it. Now, I put our kids to bed every night when they were growing up, and we would pray, and we would sing some worship songs and pray, and as they got older, I would go in and pray with them. But Julie was in the sixth grade, and she was going to public school. And I sat on her bed, and we didn't tell our kids to go to sleep at night, we just let them, but they had to read. They couldn't watch TV or talk or anything. So our kids read a lot, so Julie was reading a book that she got out of the library of the public school. And I said, what are you reading there, Julie? And I picked up the book and, you know, sitting on the bed there with her and I picked up the book and it was a book about two children running away from home at night to do magic tricks with a witch. On another occasion, a book that my daughter got out of the sixth grade public library in one of our schools had cursing throughout the book. Well, regarding that book about the witch, I took it to the class of the teacher that was teaching it. And I said, we would like to ask that our daughter not be involved in the reading of this book. And she looked at me and she said, well, why not? And I said, well, first of all, it's about rebellion, children rebelling against their parents. And secondly, it's about witchcraft. And she said, there's nothing wrong with that. And I said, well, can you read the Bible in this class? She said, of course not. And I said, well, why are you reading about witchcraft? It's a religion. She said, it's just good fun. I said, don't tell me about witchcraft, ma'am. I said, I'm a pastor and I've seen many people's lives destroyed through the occult. This is not a fun thing for us. This is religion and I want it out of this classroom. I don't want my daughter to participate. And she got mad at me and went and told the principal on me, okay? And I had a meeting then with the principal and I told him, I said, now listen to me. We're gonna be involved in our children's education and everything you tell them, they're gonna tell us and I'm gonna come up here and talk to you again. And I said, I respect you and I enforce your authority to our children. We're not the kind of parents that disrespect authority in front of our children, but I am the gatekeeper of my children's education and no one's coming through those gates without my permission. And if you're the parent of a high school age child, and they're going to a public university, which are very liberal, you need to make sure that your high school child understands the gospel and the Bible and how to defend their faith before they go in front of a bunch of rabid, liberal, anti-God professors who are gonna try to convert them from Christianity to something else. I'm gonna create, by the time you drive out of my driveway, when you turn 18 or 19 or 35 or whatever, 18 or 19, pray, Jesus, 17. But I'm gonna have shown you how to watch the gates of your life. And I'm gonna have produced a responsible gatekeeper and you're gonna live the rest of your life safely from the power of the devil and every desire he has over you. Safety is our birthright. Aren't you thankful we have such a great daddy in heaven? That he obsesses over our safety? But there's a responsibility that we have in this, to watch the gates of our life, to watch the gates of our home.